4:30, microphone's on. Time to call to order the Town Discovery Bay Park and Recreation Committee meeting. Yeah, I could roll call, please.
Roll call has been taken, let the record show that we have one director absent.
Okay, this is the time for public comments, so do we have anyone on the line?
No, we haven't.
Okay, does anyone in the audience have any public comments? Seeing none, I will close public comments and move forward to the first agenda item.
Okay, so we have before you item to discuss and get feedback on regarding improving and upgrading the irrigation system at Cornell Park. All of the irrigation throughout the town and all departments, we've been working real hard, as I think everyone has seen, to upgrade not only landscaping, our infrastructures, everything else. And what we'd like to do is go to a smart irrigation system.
I'm sorry, do you have an agenda?
That's okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I saw you looking around, so I got a little sorry.
Perfect. Well, just let the record reflect that I skipped the draft meetings, but since that they're just myself, we'll have to withhold voting on those until the next meeting. Continue.
So as I was saying, we'd like to move toward going with smart irrigation systems. I've been communicating and working with a company called HydroPoint, and I actually have their representative should be on the line, Noe Cruz, and he will be happy to answer any questions that you might have and explain the system in any technical areas that I can't answer for you. As we've seen, as we all drive around, and as our irrigation and everything is aging, we get sprinklers that get stuck on a lot. Things may come on a Friday. We're not open on the weekends. We come in Monday to a slew of phone calls, and we've wasted water and everything else. So, the system that we're proposing to install at Cornell Park to start, and if successful, we'll eventually continue all throughout town, is again a smart water system. It's called WeatherTrack. Their system helps reduce water waste. We can get real-time 24/7 leak notifications. So even if something turns on that shouldn't be on a Friday night, we'll get alerted right to our phone, our tablet, our computer, anything that will notify us. We can turn it off in real time, right from the comfort of your sofa, if that's where you're at, to eliminate that problem. And not only that, but there's also equipment that they would put in that is a valve, which would actually shut it off automatically for you and still notify you. They have a pilot program that they're offering for us to try out for 90 days. The total investment turnkey is just over $24,000. I could read you everything here, but I think if I introduce Noe, he could probably explain it a whole lot better than I could. Are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
We can. Perfect.
Perfect.
So how did I do?
Fantastic, as always.
Brian, Director Gouteau, do you have any specific questions that we can for you to explain why and what this product, how it could serve us?
I do, but before I get into Noe's portion of it, just to get a better understanding, would you say that all of our irrigation system is the same age, or are we all over the place as far as, do you know?
No, I don't think so, because like the other side of town, if you will, some of the newer areas, right, were put in this Zone 8 in Cornell Park. That's why the idea was to start in one of our own zones. Mm-hmm. Cornell Park, we've had people complaining about overwatering and mosquito issues, and you know, because there's too much water, this will control all of that and save water. If this is successful and we can do this pilot program and we like it and we want to move forward with the full installation. Again, just starting with Cornell Park. Then my goal would be to kind of move through town as our budgeting allows, and then start in some of the streetscape areas, go to zone 9. At that point, then we would go to the county and pitch it to them and see what they
Want to do.
Did I answer your question?
They did. I'm just trying to get an understanding of our system. And
yeah, you know. No. This side is definitely the oldest.
So, in a way, is this basically we're just replacing the computer unit, or?
At Cornell Park, and the goal is to upgrade the existing WeatherTrack controller you guys have on site, and to add a master valve and a flow sensor to the point of connection of your landscape water. And then the last step would be to also upgrade the second irrigation controller on site. That's a Rainbird conventional wire controller. The good thing about the WeatherTrack control system to start is that the irrigation controllers, they can manage a point of connection to your landscape water via a wired flow sensor and a master valve. The goal is for the irrigation controller to learn the flow for all of your irrigation stations to control any unexpected flows, be it a low flow or a high flow, anything unexpected. The best part about the WeatherTrack irrigation control platform is that you could also install a second controller, upgrade that controller to a WeatherTrack controller, and wirelessly, the one controller that has the flow sensor master valve connected to it can learn the flow for other stations from other WeatherTrack controllers on the same mainline, and then program that water so that when it's watering, you'll protect the site from any unexpected flows. And best of all, the system is designed to also budget water use. Say if you have X amount of gallons you want to use in the month of December, you can pre-program that to not exceed that water budget. We can provide full reports, and best of all, for weather-based adjustments, we provide accurate, within 99% accuracy, weather-based adjustments to within 1 square kilometer of the GPS coordinates of the manager controller on that site. So our goal is to give your team full transparency onto water used, help save water based on accurate weather-based data that is not, say, a zip code, but the actual location of that park, and best of all, to have full control of any unexpected flows.
Got it. Okay, but this proposal doesn't necessarily fix if a sprinkler head is stuck on. It just notifies us it's stuck on, and it can turn that sprinkler head off, but it doesn't prevent future sprinkler heads from being stuck on. Does that make sense?
Yes, that's entirely field related. As far as anything that happens, say after the irrigation valve, that would notify your team of any, say, unexpected high flows or low flows. The system would capture that, and we can have the system turn off that station and finish watering everything else, and basically notify your team of any issues to avoid wasted water.
Okay, so the cost is it $4,600 for
the pilot project portion of it, the control, is valued at $4,683, which if we go and we like it after the 90 days, so this is, and correct me in a way if I'm incorrect in any way, I'm learning all of this, it's been educational for sure. If for whatever reason this didn't work for us, we don't like it, they take the controller and we go back to what we're doing. If we like the program and we're like, this is great, we want to move forward, they will gift that to us, so it'll stay there. And then we will also replace the Rainbird on the other side of the park, so that they communicate together. So if we decide to go forward with it, that's where it would be, not 40, it would be the 24,000.
Got it.
Did I explain that correctly?
Almost there, yes.
Okay.
So the upgrade for the existing WeatherTrack controller is 4600. Now that would upgrade the one controller that's already there to give you the full programming features, weather-based features. However, there is currently no master valve nor flow sensor on that site, and there is a second controller. So for the pilot portion of this, you would not have flow sensing per se until the master valve flow sensor are installed. We don't mind doing a 90-day no-risk pilot to see the software, see the controller, and get access to being acquainted with how the software works. However, without the flow sensor master valve, you won't have full control, as I just proposed. To have the full use of the system, that would imply purchasing and installing the master valve flow sensor, wiring it to that existing WeatherTrack controller with the upgraded panel and hardware inside of it, and then installing that second controller. That'd be the full use. So the pilot, try one controller, 90 days, no risk. If you don't like it, we'll leave everything as it was after those 90 days. If you do like the software and would like to keep it, it has that cost of $4,600. If you want to have the full use of the system, that would imply the $24,000 purchase price of the second controller, master valve, flow sensor, and the installation of all of the above.
If we were to roll this out throughout the entire community, though, what? You know,
I'm sorry?
I'm actually talking to Monica right now.
Yeah.
You know, do we have an understanding of what the total community upgrade would be?
I do not. We haven't gotten that far. We wanted to first kind of look at this. Like I said, focus on Cornell, see if we like it. Our big thing is trying to kind of get more with the times. We had HydroPoint, we had WeatherTrack when I started here almost 11 years ago, but it was never used based on staff to the capability that we should.
Mm-hmm.
And through managers, for some reason, it got canceled. But in doing the research and speaking to people in the field, equipment, it is very highly recommended.
I asked a couple of landscapers that I know, like that do commercial, and they recommended this as well.
Oh, I'm sure the equipment's, you know, top notch. I guess I'm just trying to understand, playing devil's advocate,
sure,
you know, what we're trying to really accomplish here.
Okay.
You know, are we?
Sure.
Do we save Marco's time, or are we?
I'm trying to accomplish a bunch of different things. One, I'm trying to add this into our master plan. So when we replace landscaping, we have a system in place that allows us to sit in a room, look at everything that we have, just like our SCADA system for water and wastewater,
mm-hmm,
and go, what do we have? Where are our weaknesses? How do we fix, replace, so that we can build a better budget for the future? Okay, so that's one goal that I'm trying to accomplish. Two, we have to save on wasteful water. So that is the second goal that I'm trying to accomplish as well. And then three, we need to have the up-to-date equipment to actually save some time on Marcos. He literally walks from one point to the next point to the next point to the next point, and we can utilize them in the field for so much more if we could have this system in place.
And you guys have better grasp of that than I do. I don't know how he's...
Yeah, it's very, very manual now. And not that I'm trying to take away manual, because it is a good thing to understand and know and be able to fix and do, but the less that we need to be out there manually, we can use him for other areas and for other projects that he's needed. So those are my three main goals that I'm trying to accomplish with the system. Monica, are there any others that you'd like to add to that?
Yeah, thank you. The thing that excites me, one of the things that excites me the most about this, and we recently had it where the sprinkler got stuck on Sandpoint, I believe it was, on a Friday. That's why I used that example. And the water ran all weekend.
Dina about that one.
Yeah. And so we got in on Monday because we didn't know, because we don't have staff here.
So that system would have shut that sprinkler down.
Exactly.
But ultimately, though, Marco still has to go out there and fix the sprinkler.
Of course.
Yeah.
Things are going to break. Mowers are going to run over them. Dogs or people are going to trip on them if the riser doesn't go down. These things, things will still need to be fixed. But this is going to greatly eliminate those sprinklers getting stuck on and running all weekend, or someone's on vacation, and nobody sees it and we don't get notified. I was driving one day this week down a point of timber, turning onto Poe, and there was a section of sprinklers on. And I called Marcos and I was like, hey, are you testing this area? And he said, no, they're old. He didn't even know, unless you're driving around to see it, this would notify us so that we can mitigate those problems.
So as using that example, would we have received some type of like text message saying, hey, we have sprinkling like on a Friday or Saturday, would that have gone to somebody? And
with this new system, yes, it would either do the shut off valve and shut off itself and then alert, or it would alert us in some way so that we knew this area had a problem. So by Monday morning, we could deal with it. Or even if we're close by, myself and Monica, we could deal with it if we're around, you know, if it's something that's that. But this system, it doesn't look like we have to deal with it at that point. It helps take care of itself. We can do it from a phone and go click off, you know, or.
Right. Did we explain all that right? Because we're learning your product.
Yeah.
We're the expert. But this is our understanding.
Yeah, you guys are correct. If the system saw it was an unexpected flow, then in that context, say a valve is stuck open, the controller would see the unexpected flow and then close the master valve such that there is no flow and send a text message and or email alert to whomever is assigned to that controller. And then as the administrator, say if y'all are the administrators, you guys can get, say, an email report of alerts at a certain date recurring in time or minutes after that event actually happens. One more detail that's critical to notice as well is that with WeatherTrack, it's owned by HydroPoint Data Systems. Our hyper-focus is as well on weather-based adjustments. Instead of saying, you're gonna get a percentage adjusted runtime of an irrigation station based on a zip code, our system looks at the GPS coordinates of that controller. And within 1 square kilometer, our goal is to send that controller the most accurate weather data to within 1 square kilometer of that controller. Say if your Discovery Bay is within a unique microclimate, it shouldn't affect the weather-based adjustments. And we've noticed too, with managing the allowed depletion of moisture in the soil that these controls come with, we've seen improved plant care, plant life, which is also a huge asset to the aesthetics of your township.
Could we discuss a little bit about warranty? If you or Wayne can tell us a little bit about the warranty on these products so that we know what we're purchasing and how long it's expected to
absolutely.
Take care of and last.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So each new WeatherTrack irrigation controller has a 10-year manufacturer's warranty and data plan. But the part that I think is more exciting is that there's no additional cost when you go from 4G to 5G. As technology is advancing, they're advancing as well. And there's no additional fees for that. So it's got a great warranty to it as well. Anything on that I missed, Noah?
No, you're correct. Our goal is to keep your controller connected. So from the date of installation, we offer a 10-year worry-free wireless 10-year warranty. So if any hardware were to fail from, say, a manufacturer defect, we'll take care of you for 10 years. Also, if 4G goes to 5G, goes to 7G, we will send you and your team new modems and antennas for those controllers at no additional cost. Other manufacturers, let's say if you were to buy a 10-year data plan, if and when 4G goes to 5G, you're going to pay an average of $900 per modem to upgrade that modem, which doesn't affect the data. And then if it were to go to, say, 7G, you're going to repeat that expense all over again. Our goal is to keep you guys connected. So for 10 years, no worries. We'll keep your controls online.
Is this equipment that we install or you guys install? What
proposal for us to install? Well, to have a contractor, a licensed contractor, install for us.
But it's all done. We are hiring HydroPoint, and they take care of everything.
And as far as like training of staff, as far as how to operate that, that's included.
Yeah, can you tell us a little bit about the training? Maybe outline just a brief description of how you do that training.
So through my experience, I've had the best results through on-site training. We can schedule the training with your staff, English or Spanish or both. And my goal is to teach your team how the system works. We can start wherever their experience level is, and we can even series this into a three-day training. But my goal is to work at whatever speed fits your team best. My goal is to see the system work at its full capacity, not just be installed and ran in just basic minutes. So my goal is to see the site utilized to its full capacity, and there's no cost for that.
Well, it would be nice to know, though, if this is going to be part of a master plan, how many controllers we actually need, and what the, you know, the multi-year rollout would look like, just so.
We could provide that. Why don't we do the pilot, see if we like it, see if it's working as it should, and, you know, and we get that training, and then maybe if we decide that we like it, we bring back to Parks and Rec part of the master plan for rolling out in different zones, you know. We can do a whole master plan, and they can give us a quote for all the zones, mm-hmm. or we can do it piece by piece. So that'll be at your request. So.
And we in-house have been working in between, when we can, going through, and we're going to each of our controllers and gathering all the information that has not been done. So that's something that Matt and Janie are working on together. She's doing a lot of the admin legwork on that end, and Matt's going to, so that we can come back to Noe and say this again. My only goal right now is for zone 8 and 9, because we'd have to go to the county to get permission for, you know, for
sure.
Everything else, and then say this is how many we have. But and before we went through all that legwork, kind of wanted to see, okay, let's start with this and see what we think.
Yeah, at the end of the day, we don't want to waste water, and certainly, I know the state of California frowns on. Maybe there's some. I'll put my Carolyn hat on. Maybe there's some grant programs out there for taking advantage of, you know, or implementing something that's water saving type devices.
Yeah. So every year. We have to, as a water agency, have to do a water audit for the state. And so I'm going to mention this program in the water audit so that we're trying to do conservation. So if I can find some type of a grant for conservation of water, this could probably help do that. So I've actually talked to our grant research person, so they're looking for some things now.
Well, and maybe if there is, then we could do maybe a faster rollout. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, well, sounds like a good idea. I guess last thing that pops to my head, is there any possibility someone could hack into this and turn our water system off, since it is...
Or all of them on.
Or all of them on, yeah.
No, it's not possible. All of the controllers are hosted within our own private server. PetaPoint is a privately owned company, and all controllers are hosted in our private server, and knock on wood. That's never happened. PetaPoint was opened in 2002, and even still, through today's security risk, that has yet to ever happen to us.
I assume that, but I just thought I'd ask the question anyways. Nowadays,
that's a fair question. So thank you for asking.
All right. Well, I think it's, you know, we should bring this to the board and move forward.
Thank you, Noe. I really appreciate your time and your patience and educating me and all of those listening on how we can be better. So we will bring this before finding out if it's in 2 weeks. I'll be in touch with you to let you know when, so that if you can attend to kind of answer the same questions to our full board.
Yes.
So we'll go for try and get approval at our full board level. So I'll find out when that meeting is going to be and be in touch.
Yeah, if you'd like to schedule a full site survey of all controllers at Discovery Bay, I don't mind looking at a complete proposal. And in this context, most communities like yours do end up phasing this project an average of 3 to 5 years completion, but that's entirely your call. And in this case, if this project were to be, say, phased over 5 years, and every controller's expiration date is based upon its installation date, At the end of every year, we end up syncing the install controller's remaining time so that they all have matching expiration dates, so you don't get surprise bills here and there as they're expiring. In 10 years, you'll know exactly when they all expire when they're all installed.
And maybe if there's a larger volume of a purchase, it might be a discount, so.
Yes, sir. You know that game very well.
Hey, before you jump off, Beatrice, anyone on the line? Any public comments?
No, I have
to. Okay. All right, very good. Thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you. I will be in touch.
Take care. Cheers.
Okay, what's next?
I'm getting to my report. So, one of the things that I've been doing is going around and you've seen and really assessing all of our landscaping areas as far as like streetscape and the islands and things like that. It's going to take a long time. We've had a lot of years of deferred not maintenance, but upgrades and improvements. And every once in a while, you just have to rip things out and start again. So I've been, as you've seen, we did Wild Drive. We've done Preston and Point of Timber. I'm going to be redoing the islands on Fixler's on 35. Those are getting done. So things like that. One of the areas that I've really been looking at is all of the points, if you will. So we've got South Point, Cabrillo Point, Laguna Court, Discovery Point, and then the two Willow Lakes, the court, the small island, and the large Willow Lake Island.
I don't think we've touched those in 15 years.
It's been maybe longer. 25 to 30 years.
Okay, well.
Yeah. I did some research, spoke to some original residents, kind of asked them what has been, you know, really kind of knocking on doors, if you will, and talking to people. And the estimate that was given to me was 25 to 30 years since they've had anything new. It's some of them are fortunate enough to have the ice plant that's still, you know, is growing, but it's got weeds growing through it. There's bald spots. There's, I included in the report, so you can kind of take a look at the condition of them right now, which actually isn't, because we've done some edging and cleaning out there. The palm trees around town, they drop when the seeds drop. This is just a island of little volunteer palms that is quite labor intensive to constantly be removing, and an eyesore.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been working so well with Jensen, who is part of the Omnia cooperative, who's been doing the other projects. And so I reached out, spent some time with them, took them to all of these points, as I mentioned, that are at the end of the cul-de-sacs of the streets, to kind of come up with an idea and go with something that's definitely lower maintenance and water conservation as well. And so they've come up with a couple of designs. I, again, just want to start out, get a feel for what the committee and the board is interested in. So I started out with South Point and Cabrillo Point. Cabrillo is quite large and really a mess, as you can see from the pictures I took. So in this report, there is a sketch, a design proposal for both of those areas and the cost associated with doing this. So again, like you can see, and it's changing everything to drip irrigation and the rock, the same rock. So then we kind of have a theme.
I was gonna ask, is this more in the line of Wild Drive or more in the line of Poe as far as?
More in the line, you know what? This is a combination of both.
Okay.
honestly, because it's got some of the, it's the same rock that we're using. Everybody seems to like it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but we're putting in, there are some succulents, but there's also some of the grasses that grow that look nice and grow real well out here. So this is, I would say, a combination of both. Lantana grows really well out here. It's real pretty and purple. So, but getting away from the trees that we have then added maintenance expense for, as we've been doing lately, they grow and you have to trim them and cut them. So
as an example, on South Point, would we be removing some of the palm trees or whatever is there that is?
Is that south or is that? No, you know what? In these areas, we're
I know one of the islands has some.
Yeah, no, we're going to keep the palm trees. Mm-hmm. I believe it's Cabrillo. We even talked about keeping the oleander because there's, Dina, I'm sorry, I don't know what it's called at Cabrillo. Not a lift station? There's a, do you know what I'm?
Oh, the.
A transformer,
yes.
Or something? There's a big, I'm going to call it a transformer. Former, anybody forgive me if I'm going to get the wrong thing. But it is an eyesore, and it is surrounded by oleanders. In an effort to also save money, which we've been doing in other parts of town, is we're taking those 8 and 10 foot oleanders that have never been, and we're bringing them way down, and they're getting fresh life and greenery, and that will save in cost from ripping them out. It'll look good. They're already there. They need to be cleaned up. So no, some of the stuff we will keep. If there's nice, healthy trees there, we will keep those, but we won't be planting new trees.
Yeah, because example, like on Clipper, like some, or maybe it's on Discovery Bay Boulevard, there's on the two islands, there's, I forget what kind of tree it is, but it's
put azaleas in there.
It's something that's dumping stuff on there all the time.
Oh, those are the pepper trees.
So
yeah.
I don't know.
Real popular in the 80s,
yeah.
And they're all over town, and they make a horrible, they're real pretty. They're like a willow looking, you know, a lot of them, but yeah, no, we won't be doing any of that. But we won't remove them either. They're there, they're pretty, there's no, and you know, we don't want to take out healthy trees. But you know, I would love to be able to start out with South Point Cabrillo. That's why I have them priced out separately. So you kind of have an idea. I might change the design just a little bit on Cabrillo, and I've already discussed it with them. But again, this is a start to give you an idea of what it looks like and where we'd like to go with it.
And I would imagine the funding would come out of the Hoffman Fund. Is that where we're kind of thinking, or?
Well, I put to be determined, because that's something we need to discuss. Most likely would be, but we would then, you know, involve Margaret, Dina, myself, the board before we come to you with a recommendation.
All the islands need to be touched.
They
so
do.
I have no argument whatsoever about that. I just want to make sure we choose the right islands first that makes the most sense. And I'm not saying any one of these islands aren't important, but some islands have greater car traffic and visibility than other islands. You kind of follow where I'm going. So as an example, Willow Lake. So that gets there's a lot of traffic, massive island.
Yeah.
You know.
So Monica and I have been talking about Willow Lake. I like these designs for these smaller islands, and we do have an idea for Willow Lake, and something we want to bring back at a later date.
Okay.
So we kind of started a long time ago with Bill of making it kind of a mini park. So we're looking at some little aspects to do that. So we will be. We are looking at that one. We know it's there. We know it's eyesore. We know you can't utilize it. And
sure.
It's a big space. So, but that one will be very costly. So.
Well, and that's what I was going to say. My thought process, but to hopefully it makes sense. In starting with South Point and Cabrillo is kind of working our way around. So those are the first two. Willow Lake Island, of all of them, is honestly the best looking right now. The ice plant is lush and green. There's not big ugly bald spots, and you know, and it's that one will by far be the most expensive. So I kind of wanted to chip away at the smaller ones.
For sure.
That was my thought process.
again, from my perspective, I think I let staff set the priorities because you know what your workload looks like and you kind of can figure out. I'm just talking out loud. And, you know, it would be nice though to have little like goods. I think there could be some really cool stuff that you could do with that. And, you know, yes, it's close to an existing park, but it could be repurposed for, you know, more of a sanctuary or something, you know, a little pergola and something to hang out, a little tea garden maybe, yeah, or something, you know.
I've been doing some research on that as well.
And you got two massive islands on Discovery Point.
Mm-hmm. That's why
that people use for their own personal dog park. And then, of course, the island right over here in Sand Bay here, or Sand Creek.
Sand Point,
sorry. I believe that belongs to us.
It does.
Yeah, I know you maintain it, so.
That does. That I was going to put part of another. That's what I'm saying. There's so much, but we've got to start somewhere, and every place is a priority. Every spot in town is important to the residents that live by there.
Of course.
You know, and so we're really just, we've done a lot, we're doing a lot on the other side of town. Hopefully going to be doing some more stuff at Regatta Park that I'm working with the county on. So definitely showing some love on this side of town. And eeny, meeny, miny, moe. So I just kind of, you know, again, picked the smaller to start and see what. Fill out the committee, feel out the board, see where everybody's head is at.
Well, I mentioned Sandpoint because that has a lot of visibility, a lot of traffic. A lot of people drive by it on a daily basis. You know, the other, again, if anyone's listening on the line, all the islands are important.
I know.
But
I think everybody knows that, you know, if you work with anyone, our board, our staff, we're all very passionate. What we do and care, and those of us like myself, Dean, there's a few that live here as well and research, we care, we want it, we want to do it all right now, but that's just not possible, but chipping away at it.
I think Jensen's is a great vendor that you've been using. I like the work they've done, and they're very efficient and very quick, and so
they are. And they, the thing that I'm loving, I just got it today, is after it's all said and done, he will take us out to each site, train us on what new systems went in. He even gave us what we did, a Crescent Point of Timber required, just a special little tool to get to those new heads. They take the time and show us how they programmed it, what water usage they feel it needs, and then we will adapt to that based on weather.
Is there any public comments? Any public comments in the audience? No? Okay, so at this point, are you looking for guidance at this point? Or
looking to see if this is something I think that you, the committee agrees and supports, and would like to bring it before the board for a vote.
Will this be tonight, or later?
No.
We have the money in the Hoffman Fund. That's what that money's for. I think any improvement to our community is a good thing. So I'm in support of that. I guess if the only thing I would say is I know you want to do it in a smaller islands first. I just think maybe priority-wise. And because at the end of the day, as example, South Point has like 6 homes that surround it, versus the other islands have 20 homes that.
Isn't that Long Island right here?
South Point is River Lake, left on River Lake,
yeah.
And then
Double Point. Right, yeah, you go up Double Point, and then
south. It's got two islands.
Yeah, two islands.
Might want to start with South Point, so we can have Jensen give us some quotes for those. We'll bring all of them back, and then we'll just
No, I like Jensen, I like the designs, and I like the idea of all this.
Okay.
I would just think that South Point would be the last one that we went with.
Oh,
again, and I'm strictly making the comment from the standpoint, how many homes, you know, are surrounding those areas, and how much traffic that those streets get, and compared to other streets that have a lot more traffic, mm-hmm. and there's a lot more visibility. So,
how do you feel about Umbrella? Like if we started with only because I would then I have no designs, I have nothing for the rest of them. So I would have to then work on that, but we do have, like I said, this design, which I do want to tweak a little bit, and I would want to have that done before I brought it back to the board, but I can have that done.
There's a lot of homes in Cabrillo,
right.
So
if we even modified the staff report, if I can get one of the bigger islands design work done, I don't know if I can, I could try, if not, and bring perhaps just Cabrillo back to the full board.
Okay.
I mean, is that?
Yeah. I don't want to argue with you as far as what the priorities are. Ultimately, I'm going to defer to what staff wants to do on this particular case. So, I'm just throwing that out that I would choose an island that has more visibility, more traffic than an island that doesn't necessarily. In my opinion. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm just not sure what the direction is. I'm sorry.
Well, he can't provide direction right now.
Oh, okay.
We'll talk tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
The direction is for you to look back at all the islands and
get them all done right now.
Well, I think we might need a little bit more money then.
Okay.
If we're going to spend this kind of money on updating an island, I would just choose a different island than that. Okay. But besides that, yeah, I'm on board, and
okay.
And we need to do it.
You like the design, you like the direction we're going, you just want us to choose Cabrillo and Leo.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. So we'll talk about that tomorrow.
Yeah, and carry that theme through all the stuff. So let's just try to be as consistent as possible.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. All right.
Well, do we have any future agenda items?
We've set one for you. So.
All right. With that, 5:15 or 5:13, meeting adjourned.